Hello and welcome back to the Bored to Sleep podcast. We are here to help distract you from the world outside. We have chosen topics to help disengage your brain and help you relax. These episodes have been created to help you drift off to sleep and should not be taken seriously. If you enjoy this podcast and would like us to make more, be sure to follow, like, and share. I'm your host, Griff. We are back by popular demand, and this week's episode, paint. More boring than watching paint dry. The source is Wikipedia. Paint is a liquid pigment that, after application to a solid material and allowed to dry, adds a film-like layer to protect, add color, or provide texture. Paint can be made in many colors and in many different types. Most paints are either oil-based or water-based, and each has distinct characteristics. For one, it is illegal in most municipalities to discard oil-based paints down household drains or sewers. Cleanup solvents are also different for water-based paint than oil-based paint. Water-based paints and oil-based paints will cure differently based on the outside ambient temperature of the object being painted, such as a house. Usually the object being painted must be over 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, although some manufacturers of external paints and primers claim they can be applied when temperatures are as low as 2 degrees Celsius, 35 degrees Fahrenheit. Paint was one of the earliest arts of humanity. Some cave paintings with red or yellow ochre, hematite, manganese oxide, and charcoal may have been made by early Homo sapiens as long as 40,000 years ago. Paint may even be older. In 2003 and 2004, South African archaeologists reported finds in the Blombos Cave of a 100,000-year-old human-made ochre-based mixture that could have been used like paint. Further excavation in the same cave resulted in the 2011 report of a complete toolkit for grinding pigments and making a primitive paint-like substance. Interior walls at the 5,000-year-old Ness of Brodgar have been found to incorporate individual stones painted in yellows, reds, and oranges using ochre pigment made of hematite mixed with animal fat, milk, or eggs. Ancient coloured walls at Dendera, Egypt, which were exposed for years to the elements, still possess their brilliant colour, as vivid as when they were painted about 2,000 years ago. The Egyptians mixed their colour with a gummy substance and applied them separately from each other without any blending or mixture. They appear to have used six colours: white, black, blue, red, yellow, and green. They first covered the area entirely with white, then traced the design in black, leaving out the lights of the ground colour. They use minium for red, generally of a dark tinge. The oldest known oil paintings are Buddhist murals created 650 AD. The works are located in cave-like rooms carved from the cliffs of Afghanistan's Bamiyan Valley. In the 13th century, oil was used to detail tempera paintings. In the 14th century, Senio Senini described a painting technique utilizing tempera painting covered by light layers of oil. The slow-drying properties of organic oils were certainly known to early European painters. However, the difficulty in acquiring and working the materials meant that they were rarely used. Paint was made with the yolk of eggs, and therefore the substance would harden and adhere to the surface it was applied to. The pigment was made from plants, sand, and different soils. Most paints use either oil or water as a base, the dilutant, solvent, or vehicle for the pigment. In 1718, Marshall Smith invented a machine or engine for the grinding of colours in England. It is not known precisely how it operated, but it was a device that dramatically increased the efficiency of pigment grinding. Soon, a company called Emerton and Manby was advertising exceptionally low-priced paints that had been ground with labour-saving technology. By the proper onset of the Industrial Revolution, in the mid-18th century, paint was being ground in steam-powered mills, and an alternative to lead-based pigments had been found in a white derivative of zinc oxide. Interior house painting increasingly became the norm as the 19th century progressed, both for decorative reasons and because the paint was effective in preventing the walls rotting from damp. linseed oil was also increasingly used as an inexpensive binder. In 1866, Sherwin-Williams in the United States opened as a large paint maker and invented a paint that could be used from the tin without preparation. It was only when the stimulus of World War II created a shortage of linseed oil in the supply market that artificial resins or alkyds were invented. Cheap and easy to make, they held the colour well and lasted for a long time. Through the 20th century, paints used pigments, typically suspended in a liquid. In the 21st century, paints that use structural colour were created. Aluminium flakes dotted with smaller aluminium nanoparticles could be turned to produce arbitrary colours by adjusting the nanoparticle sizes rather than mixing materials to do so. These paints weighed a tiny fraction of the weight of conventional paints, a particular advantage in air and road vehicles. They reflect heat from sunlight and do not break down outdoors. Preliminary experiments suggest it can reduce temperatures by 20 to 30 degrees Fahrenheit versus conventional paint. Its constituents are also less toxic. Making the paint starts with a thin double-sided mirror. The researchers deposit metallic nanoparticles on both sides of the sheet. Large sheets were grounded to produce small flakes. The vehicle is composed of binder. It is necessary to thin with diluent, like solvent or water. It is a combination of binder and diluent. In this case, once the paint has dried or cured, very nearly all of the diluent has evaporated, and only the binder is left on the coated surface. Thus, an important quantity in the coating's formulation is the vehicle solids, sometimes called the resin solids, of the formula. This is the proportion of the wet coating weight that is a binder, i.e., the polymer backbone of the film that will remain after drying or curing is complete. The volume of the paint after it is dried, therefore only leaving the solids, is expressed as the volume solid. The binder is the film-forming component of paint. It is the only component that is always present among all the various types of formulations. Many binders must be thick enough to be applied and thinned. The type of thinner, if present, varies with the binder. The binder imparts properties such as gloss, durability, flexibility, and toughness. Binders include synthetic or natural resins such as alkyds, acrylics, vinyl acetate, urethane, polyurethanes, polyester, melamine resins, epoxies, silanes or siloxanes, or oils. Binders can be categorized according to the mechanisms for film formation. Thermoplastic mechanisms include drying and coalescence. Drying refers to simply evaporating the solvent or thinner to leave a coherent film behind. Coalescence refers to a mechanism that involves drying followed by an actual interpenetration and fusion of formerly discrete particles. Thermoplastic film-forming mechanisms are sometimes described as thermoplastic cure, but that is a misnomer because no chemical reactions are required to knit the film. On the other hand, thermosetting mechanisms are true curing mechanisms involving chemical reactions along the polymers that make up the binder. Some films are formed by simply cooling the binder. For example, encaustic or wax paints are liquid when warm and harden upon cooling. In many cases, they re-soften or liquefy if reheated. Paints that dry by a solvent evaporation and contain the solid binder dissolved in a solvent are known as lacquers. A solid film forms when the solvent evaporates. Because no chemical cross-linking is involved, the film can re-dissolve in solvent. Lacquers are unsuitable for applications where chemical resistance is important. Classic nitrocellulose lacquers fall into this category, as do non-grain resin stains composed of dyes dissolvent in solvents. Performance varies by formulation, but lacquers generally tend to have better UV resistance and lower corrosion resistance than comparable systems, the cure by polymerization or coalescence. The paint type known as emulsion in the UK and latex in the United States is a waterborne dispersion of a submicrometer polymer particles. These terms in the respective countries cover all paints that use synthetic polymers, such as acrylic, vinyl acrylic, styrene acrylics, as binders. The term latex in the context of paint in the United States simply means an aqueous dispersion. latex rubber from the rubber tree is not an ingredient. These dispersions are prepared by emulsion polymerization. Such paints cure by a process called coalescence, where first the water and then the trace, or coalescing, solvent evaporate and draw together and soften the binder particles and fuse them together into irreversibly bound network structures, so that the paint cannot redissolve in the solvent / water that originally carried it. The residual surfactants in paint, as well as the hydrolytic effects with some polymers, cause the paint to remain susceptible to softening and over time degradation by water. The general term of latex paint is usually used in the United States, while the term emulsion paint is used for the same products in the UK, and the term latex paint is not used at all. Paints that cure by polymerization are generally one or two package coatings that polymerize by the way of a chemical reaction and cure into a cross-linked film. Depending on composition, they may need to dry first by evaporation of solvent. Classic two-package epoxies or polyurethanes would fall into this category. The drying oils counterintuitively cure by a cross-linking reaction even if they are not put through an oven cycle and seem to dry in air. The film formation mechanism of the simplest examples involve the first evaporation of solvents followed by a reaction with oxygen from the environment over a period of days, weeks, and even months to create a cross-linked network. Classic alkyd enamels would fall into this category. Oxidative cure coatings are catalyzed by metal complex dryers, such as cobalt naphthenate, though cobalt octoate is more common. Recent environmental requirements restrict the use of volatile organic compounds, VOCs, and alternative means of curing have been developed, generally for industrial purposes. UV curing paints, for example, enable formulation with very low amounts of solvents, or even none at all. This can be achieved because of the monomers and oligomers used in the coating have relatively very low molecular weight, and are therefore low enough in viscosity to enable good liquid flow without the need for additional thinner. If solvent is present in significant amounts, generally it is mostly evaporated first and then cross-linking is initiated by ultraviolet light. Similarly, powder coatings contain little or no solvent. Flow and cure are produced by the heating of the substrate after electrostatic application of the dry powder. So-called catalyzed lacquers or cross-linking latex coatings are designed to form films by a combination of methods, classic drying plus a curing reaction that benefits from the catalyst. These are paints called plastisols and organosols, which are made by blending PVC granules with a plasticizer. These are stoved and the mix coalesces. The main purposes of the diluent are to dissolve the polymer and adjust the viscosity of the paint. It is volatile and does not become part of the paint film. It also controls flow and application properties, and in some cases can affect the stability of the paint while in liquid state. Its main function is as a carrier for the non-volatile components. To spread heavier oils, for example linseed, as in oil-based interior house paint, a thinner oil is required. These volatile substances impart their properties temporarily. Once the solvent has evaporated, the remaining paint is fixed to the surface. This component is optional. Some paints have no diluent. Water is the main diluent for waterborne paints, even the co-solvent types. Solvent-borne, also called oil-based paints, can have various combinations of organic solvents as the diluent, including aliphatics, aromatics, alcohols, ketones, and white spirit. Specific examples are organic solvents such as petroleum distillate, esters, glycol ethers, and the like. Sometimes volatile low molecular weight synthetic resins also serve as diluents. Pigments are granular solids incorporated in the paint to contribute color. Dyes are colorants that dissolve in the paint. Fillers are granule solids incorporated to impart toughness, texture, give the paint special properties, or to reduce the cost of the paint. During production, the size of such particles can be measured with the Hegmann gauge. Rather than using only solid particles, some paints contain dyes instead of or in combination with pigments. Pigments can be classed as either natural or synthetic. Natural pigments include various clays, calcium, carbonate, mica, silicas, and talcs. Synthetics would include engineered molecules, calcined clays, blank fix, precipitated calcium carbonate, and synthetic pyrogenic silicas. Hiding pigments in making paint opaque also protects the substrate from the harmful effects of ultraviolet light. Hiding pigments includes titanium oxide, phthalo blue, red iron oxide, and many others. Fillers are a special type of pigment that serve to thicken the film, support its structure, and increase the volume of the paint. Fillers are usually cheap and inert materials, such as diatomaceous earth, talc, lime, barytes, clay, etc. Floor paints that must resist abrasion may contain fine quartz sand as a filler. Not all paints include filler. On the other hand, some paints contain large proportions of pigments slash fillers and binder. Some pigments are toxic, such as the lead pigments that are used in lead paint. Paint manufacturers began replacing white lead pigments with titanium white, titanium dioxide, before lead was banned in paint for the residential use in 1978 by the US Consumer Product Safety Commission. The titanium dioxide used in most paints today is often coated with silica, alumina, and zirconium for various reasons, such as better exterior durability or better hiding performance, opacity, promoted by more optimal spacing within the paint film. Micaceous iron oxide, MiO, is another alternative to lead for protection of steel, giving more protection against water and light damage than most paints. When MiO pigments are ground into fine particles, most cleave into shiny layers, which reflect light, thus minimizing UV degradation and protecting the resin binder. Most pigments used in paint tend to be spherical, but lamellar pigments, such as glass flake and MiO, have overlapping plates, which impede the path of water molecules. For optimum performance, MiO should have a high contrast of flake-like particles resembling mica. ISO 10601 sets two levels of MiO content. MiO is often derived from the form of hematite. Besides the three main categories of ingredients, paint can have a wide variety of miscellaneous additives, which are usually added in small amounts, yet provide a significant effect on the product. Some examples include additives to modify surface tension, improve flow properties, improve the finish appearance, increase wet edge, improve pigment stability, impart antifreeze properties, control foaming, controlled skinning, etc. Other types of additives include catalysts, thickeners, stabilizers, emulsifiers, texturizers, adhesion promoters, UV stabilizers, flatteners, deglossing agents, biocides to fight bacterial growth, and the like. Additives normally do not significantly alter the percentages of individual components in a formulation. Various technologies exist for making paints that change color. Thermochromic ink and coatings contain materials that change conformation when heat is applied or removed, and so they change color. Liquid crystals have been used in such paints, such as in the thermometer strips and tapes used in aquaria and novelty/promotional thermal cups and straws. Photochromic materials are used to make eyeglasses and other products. Similar to thermochromic molecules, photochromic molecules change conformation when light energy is applied or removed, and so they change color. Color-changing paints can also be made by adding halochromic compounds or other organic pigments. One patent cites use of these indicators for wall coating application for light-colored paints. When the paint is wet, it is pink in color, but upon drying it, regains its original white color. As cited in patent, the property of the paint enabled two or more coats to be applied on a wall properly and evenly. The previous coats, having dried, would be white, whereas the new coat would be distinctively pink. Ashland Incorporated introduced foundry refractory coatings with similar principles in 2005 for use in foundries. Electrochromic paints change colour in response to an applied electric current. Car manufacturer Nissan has been reportedly working on an electrochromic paint based on particles of paramagnetic iron oxide. When subjected to an electromagnetic field, the paramagnetic particles change spacing, modifying their colour and reflective properties. The electromagnetic field would be formed using the conductive metal of the car body. Electrochromatic paints can be applied to plastic substances as well, using a different coating chemistry. The technology involves using special dyes that change conformation when an electric current is applied across the film itself. The new technology has been used to achieve glare protection at the touch of a button in a passenger airplane windows. Color can also change depending on viewing angle, using iridescence, for example, in chroma flare.